This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now, here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Bottom of the hour, Michael Bumpus joining us. Let's go to Rick in Twin Lakes. Hey, Rick.
Hey, good morning, John.
Morning.
It was quite the games we had on last weekend.
Oh, phenomenal. Just phenomenal.
Yeah, very competitive.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't get any better than that.
Oh, no, and unlike the way the network had them set up, none of them was on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't compete against each other. Their ratings must have been through the roof.
Oh, the record ratings total.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was a great setup on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you were correct about the AFC having the young guns at quarterback.
Oh.
A lot of the quarterbacks in the NFC, the ones that they drafted, didn't quite pan out the way they thought they was going to be. The kid in Chicago, Goff, and, of course, that guy in the Washington Redskin football team. I think it was out of Ohio State.
Yeah, you're talking about Dwayne Haskins.
He wouldn't show up, had a bad attitude. I mean, you don't need that, man. I mean, the AFC, their quarterback seemed to pan out a lot better. Their future seems really, really bright.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, agreed.
And looking at...
And honestly, we've never seen a saturation of young quarterbacks, 26 years old or younger, that's this talented, this good at any time that I can ever remember. I mean, we can talk about, you know, going back to 83 with Elway and Marino and stuff like that. But we've got, there's nine quarterbacks.
And they're so well coached.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I mean, they don't just stand there and stare down a receiver. I mean, they're like veterans. They'll look one way and throw the other. You know, they keep the defense off balance, and they're, for the most part, they're mobile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know how to use the talent that they have around them. And I like the kid Burrow. He was having a good year last year, and he got hurt.
Right.
And I know he had been sacked so many times. I thought sure they was going to go offensive line to get him some help. But anyway, they got him help in another way. They got his college receiver.
Uh-huh.
He seemed to have they're clicking like Montana and Rice, you know.
Uh-huh.
They read each other just right, you know. But looking at this weekend's game, both of the underdog teams have beaten the favorite in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Cincinnati has beaten Kansas City. And, of course, the 49ers beat the Rams twice.
Right,
And people were talking about how come the 49ers can't handle – how come the Seahawks can't handle the Rams' defensive line the way, you know, the way 49ers do? Well, the 49ers have a line that they don't have very many weaknesses, but the weakness, Seahawks have weaknesses all through their line. They have they always have one or two holes. The guy Jackson, he's really big, big as a house. I mean, he fills up the whole door when he walks through, but he needs to drop about 20, 25 pounds to make him so he can hit the guy and then go to the next level. And of course, center needs to be improved. And of course, you had a rookie guard, and you moved him from the right side to the left side, and that seemed to kind of mess him up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a right tackle who can't seem to stay healthy.
Right.
At both seasons that he's been here, I see him standing there, and then somebody rolled into his leg and hurt his ankle. I'm like, gee, man, keep your head on the swivel, dude.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But, the playoffs look good. I think I'm enjoying the season, this playoff season. I think think it can get better. Now, there were some mistakes coaching-wise that everybody has gone over.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't repeat them. But the thing that I'm looking forward to is the wife and I are both retired now.
Okay.
And we're going to go down to Arizona. We're going to check out spring training.
Okay.
Yeah, we got tickets to
Now, there's no spring training, but that's okay.
Well, no, not right now. They got a work stoppage. Hopefully, they'll work it out. But I got insurance on the tickets.
Okay, got it.
So if they don't play, I won't lose my money. And of course, they got a lot to do in Arizona.
Yeah.
And the main thing is Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in photography, so I'm going to take some night photographs and hit a few lakes and. You know, just get away for a while.
That sounds fantastic.
And, of course, I got an RV, so I'm going to drag my RV down there. I'm going to have to worry about staying in a hotel or being around a whole bunch of people with COVID. You know,
mm-hmm.
so I'll be in the fresh air and stuff like that.
Nice.
But the main thing, I'm looking forward to to the young ball players. Mariners had a good season last year, and you know, we're supposed to have a pretty good farm system. I'd like to see the new guys that they're thinking about bringing up. And of course, you've got Kelnick and all the regular guys. Mm-hmm. And Kyle Lewis, maybe he'll come back and have a bounce back season because of his injuries. But yeah, but anyway, I'm looking forward to that.
God, that
I enjoyed
great.
Your callers. There's a lot of passion there. There's a lot of knowledge. You know, you got a few boneheads, but be patient with them.
Okay.
You know.
I try. Hey, thank you so much.
All right, take care, John.
All right, let's go to Rich in Monroe. Hey, Rich.
Hey, John, how's it going?
Okay. I'm not feeling good, but.
Yeah, same here. Hey, I got a couple questions for you. The first one is, who do you think that the Seahawks are going to go for first, far as in the draft? What position do you think that
offensive line, tackle.
Offensive line first?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because, I mean, they'll have a good second-round pick, and with that good second-round pick, there'll be some offensive linemen there, so I can see them doing something like that.
Yeah, because I know they need help in the line. Yeah. They need help in the secondary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering what their priority would be.
Offensive line, because they need more than one offensive lineman. I mean, technically, they have three free agents. I mean, Posick's a free agent, and, you know, Brandon Shell's a free agent. Dwayne Brown's a free agent. And, you know, so they need to do that, and they, you know, need to get a little younger on the offensive line. So I think offensive line's the main one. But, again, you know, they can go cornerback. You know, I don't know about a running back or anything else, but still they're going to be in a position to get something.
Yeah. Speaking of running backs, that was the second part to my question. I know Carson's their guy, but he seems to be getting hurt. So they really need – I'm just wondering, I mean, because you were talking about the price range for Penny. Do you think we're going to be able to keep him?
Why not? I don't see why not. I mean, even if the cost – you know, they paid Carson $5.2 million a year, two-year contract. Yeah. And, you know, you might be able to get Penny for a little bit less. Because remember, it's like, who's going to be bidding for him much in free agency, you know, considering his injury history and everything else. So, so again, it's like, you know, Melvin Gordon, he made $8 million a year 2 years ago. He's right now scheduled as a free agent, but he'll make six or less. I mean, you've got James Conner in Arizona. You've got the other running back. You know, they're going to be $5 million entities. I mean, you might be able to get Penny for less, but again, I mean, it's not like Penny's going to break the bank.
Right. Do you know if he wants to stay here?
I can't imagine him not. I mean, he's one of my neighbors, so it's like, why would he want to leave?
That's good. I mean, I was sincerely impressed with how he turned out at the end of the season. I don't know if that had a lot to do with the veteran coming here and talking
with him,
or if he just happened. It just seemed kind of a coincidence.
Mm-hmm. No, he did great. So, yeah, I think that, and I think he's happy here. I think he likes it here. Certainly, he did well at the end of the season. And so it's like, I think that if all things work out, he should be back. But, you know, like anything else, it's free agency. You just don't know for sure.
Yeah, because if he runs like he did like that all year long, we're going to be unstoppable.
Agreed.
I really think so, because if we get that ground game going, then it opens up play action, and that's where Russell's phenomenal at. Then it opens up the long ball as well as an option.
Right.
It just
right.
and if Carson and him stay somewhat healthy, it's going to be good year next year.
Yeah, I think it will be. And again, it's like remember they've got more cap room than they've ever had. So it's like they can get some players. I mean, they're not going to overspend, but I think they can can certainly add a lot to the roster.
Yeah, I'm excited. Well, thanks, John. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jay in Preston. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how are you this morning, John?
Not good. Not feeling good.
Sorry, man. I knew that. That's that's just a standard thing. Hey, I've got a question about your thoughts on Bobby Wagner and maybe in general. And it's my belief that experience and knowledge and football IQ will overcome a lost step, even in the NFL. And I also think your opinion is he worth paying just for what he brings to the locker room? I mean, never been in the locker room at that level, but I have been, and a leader and a positive can do amazing things.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And, it's like I think that he'll be a good business person and figure out, what kind of reduction he can take in his salary. Because, again, if he gets cut from an $18 million a year contract, he's not getting that in free agency. Nobody's going to pay him $18 million at his age to go to another team. So it's like, the smart thing for him to do is work something out and stay here. And he's so valuable here. He's a leader on the team. He's the leader of the defense. He still made the Pro Bowl, still gets the tackles. I mean, just work it out.
Yeah, and thank you. And because that's kind of why I agree. And I'm sure you probably answered that before. Unfortunately, I can't listen to you all the time. So, I just appreciate you taking your call and, get better.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Glenn in Lakewood. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, good morning, John. Great
good morning.
To talk with you.
Good talking to you.
Hey, a couple of questions looking back and a couple going forward. What was your thought on how that Buffalo kickoff at the end of the Kansas City game should have been executed?
Yeah, it should have been, either punched up, so it's you take some time off the clock as opposed to kick it in the end zone and give 13 seconds. But even 13 seconds, you should still be able to hold them. But again, it's like they could have killed 4 or 5 seconds, which could take away one play from what you can see Patrick Mahomes doing. So I think that was a mistake.
Yeah, and I bet a lot of teams are going to learn from that. When they're in that situation. In the future,
you would hope.
Yeah, for sure. And then my next question kind of ties in with the last caller about the draft and the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
But you've mentioned on occasion that there's going to be a lot more seniors coming out this year that were COVID holdovers. I think you said normally there's around 700, and this year it'll be around 1,100.
Yeah.
But has there been any discussion about the draft having more than 7 rounds this year?
No. Draft is 7 rounds. No.
Hopefully there will be a lot of free agents out there, quality free agents.
Oh, yeah.
Plucked.
Yeah, because, it wasn't a lot of undrafted free agents that were going to be that good this past year, but there's going to be so many more this year, because of the college senior rule and the fact that, college seniors could have come back for a second year. So no, that's really going to stockpile things, make this draft better and deeper and all those different things.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. So
thank you.
Then my
last question is, what do you see in your crystal ball for Sean Payton's future?
TV. Tell me TV and just broadcasting right now. At some point he may want to get back. Cause remember, the deal is that, his contract doesn't expire. He's under contract to the Saints for 4 more years, and he's making $15, $16 million a year. So he's making big money, but again, he's not going to collect any of it this year because he's not going to coach, and he'll do well in the TV deal, particularly from Fox. And so I think he'll take it year by year, but at least this year he's going to be, on TV, doing the broadcasting, going to the different games and, being a color analyst, and I think he'll do well at it.
Yeah. Oh, I hadn't heard. Has he already signed a contract?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, again, he just retired this week. So it's and again, what they're waiting for is that Amazon is thinking of hiring Al Michaels and Troy Aikman. And that the Aikman hiring would create the position that Payton could end up getting.
I see.
Yeah. So no, it's in the early stages, but they've got plenty of time. I mean, last I checked, they're not doing a regular season broadcast till September, and they're not doing preseason games until August. So there's plenty of time.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, thanks very much for your insights, Sean, and most of all, thanks for toughing it out today and coming in to do the show. Your fans really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Is it Chad in SeaTac? Oh, Jeff in SeaTac. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Okay, not good.
Yeah, not feeling too well. Sorry to hear that. I just wanted to talk about the whole DK Metcalf thing. You know, when I first, you know, read and heard about a couple of the trade rumors, you know, the first thing I thought was, you know, no, absolutely not. You know, don't do that whatsoever. But, you know, I got to thinking about it, and I know a couple of these teams, you know, in the draft, they have, you know, multiple picks in the first round, the Jets, the Giants, the Eagles. I know we probably couldn't get two firsts for him, but
you
No,
you can't. I mean, and the teams you're talking about have wide receivers. So it's like they're not trading for a wide receiver. And if you trade Metcalf, you're breaking up one of the top duos in football as far as wide receivers. Why would you do that? You want the team to suck? I mean, come on, man.
Well, that leads to my next thing is, if we were to get some draft capital for him,
no,
stopping us from signing a guy like Chris Godwin or a big name wide receiver out there,
because he's property of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and they're going to keep him. And he's coming off an ACL.
Yeah.
I mean, why are you trying to be so cute about this when you've got, you know, probably one of the best young wide receivers in football, and you want to give him up, and you want to give him up to teams that already have wide receivers? That doesn't make any sense. You're not going to get a top first round, top 10 pick for DK Metcalf this year. The teams are not in the market for that. If they were, I mean, they can get one out as a receiver in the draft and not have to pay him that much.
Okay. Well, one more question, John. How do you grade the head coaching acquisition for the Raiders? How do you like that one?
I don't. I mean, it's like, I'm not a big fan of Joshy Boy McDaniels, so it's like, I hope they don't go in that direction, but they're interviewing him today, and if somebody just, you know, wrote online, it's like, and he's interviewing them today.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't like it. It's like, but, hey, they can do what they want to do, but, you know, I think they'll pay a price. Denver sure did.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for
thank
the
you,
phone.
John.
Okay, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Coming up next, Michael Bumpus.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
And joining us is Michael Bumpus. And, you know, Michael, what? I know that these odds are starting to thin a little bit, but do you think we can finally get away with some of these callers and some of these fans who want to trade DK Metcalf, trade Russell Wilson, you know, do this, do that? I mean, when will they stop?
Goodness gracious. You don't want to get rid of DK, who's the top 10 receiver.
Yeah.
You don't want to get rid of Russell when he's healthy. He's a top 5 quarterback. I mean, you cannot win in this league without a quarterback unless you're the 49ers with a great defense and a good special team.
Right.
They're crazy, John. I'm with you.
I mean, it's just, it drives me crazy because, like, you know, we just had the one caller, nice guy, Jeff or whatever, and, you know, he comes back and he says, well, you know, they should try to see if they can work a deal up with, like, the Jets or some of, you know, the teams with the top 10 pick to get wide receivers. I mean, two things. One, if you have a top 10 pick, you're going to go a couple different ways. I mean, these teams have receivers. They're not going to trade a high pick for a receiver. Number two, if they want a receiver, they'll take a receiver out of the draft. What are people thinking or not thinking?
They're not thinking, John. They think the grass is greener on the other side for some reason. And honestly, you don't know what you got till it's gone. There's going to be a day where Russell Wilson isn't here.
Agreed.
And things really start to rebuild. And people are going to be even more frustrated than they are now. Just hang in there. You have a great quarterback. You have a great receiver, some young talent. Go out there, spend some money. That's how you build this football team.
Yeah, because, again, it's like, I mean, to be able to have, like, you know, the caller brought up the idea, well, why can't they go for Chris Godwin? Well, it's like Tampa Bay has Godwin, although he's, you know, Godwin's coming off the injury, but they have, you know, they're one of the top two wide receiver duos in football, with Godwin, who's making, you know, 15, 17 million or whatever, or 15 million, and then you've got Mike Evans, who's making, you know, 17 million. You know, are you going to break up that tandem? And here, oh, let's break up the tandem. I mean, you've got Tyler Lockett and you've got Metcalf. And at some point, Lockett's going to start getting older, and you're not going to necessarily have him. I mean, come on, people. Wake up.
Wake up. And you have two receivers who could have easily both gone over 1,000 yards this year. DK mm-hmm. struggled late in the season just because of scheme and Russell not getting him the football. You want to keep those guys together as long as possible. Not once this year, John, did I look at this offense and say, man, I wish we had better receivers.
Yeah,
maybe you want a number three guy. I think D. Esker still has the potential to be that guy. Freddie Swain stepped in. There are other things that you can do to this football team to make them successful. Breaking up the band when it comes to Russ, DK, and Lockett is not the way to go.
Yeah, because, again, it's like, okay, I mean, you talk about the offensive problems that this team had. Obviously, so much of it had to go with the injury that Russell suffered coming back from the injury and all those different things. But now, if you trade a DK Metcalf, your offense is less talented. How do you get better with less talented? This is a player acquisition league, just like all leagues are. And so you want to add players, not subtract them.
Yeah, John, I want to see the Hawks do some of what the Rams did, man.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and spend some money, get a couple names, and let's see what happens. People called them crazy for investing in Matthew Stafford. Then they go get Von Miller. They get Odell Beckham Jr. And they're like, well, they have to have success this year. Guess what? They are having success because – you're right. This is a player-driven league. It'd be nice to get into the draft and find the diamond in the rough and hope he develops. But with Russ being so late in his career, it's time to win right now. And going back to what we said, you want to win right now, you don't get rid of star talent. You add star talent to this roster. That's what I hope they do this offseason.
No doubt about it. How do you think this offseason is going to go for the Seahawks?
Oh, man, I think there's going to be a lot of drama surrounding Russell Wilson, obviously, because people like the callers and the national media are going to speculate a lot about what he wants to do. He's under contract. There's a no-trade clause. Unless something drastic happens, I expect him to be here. But I expect him to go out and really beef up that offensive line and defensive line and then go grab a corner. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the corner who's going to lock a side down. You don't have to be Richard Sherman.
Right.
You don't have to be something you're not. But you got to have a guy that you know is going to be there all year, is going to be healthy, and he's going to be able to lock somebody down. DJ Reed's done a great job, but you need another guy.
Yeah, agreed. And of course, they've got to figure out a way and what to pay DJ Reed to try to keep him. He's a free agent.
You got to keep DJ. You got Quandre out there as well. DK's going to want to get his money here pretty mm-hmm. soon. There are some decisions that need to be made, but they got money in the bank, John. Let's see how they distribute it.
$60, $70 million of cap room. I mean, you know, they've never had that amount of money before. Never.
It reminds me when I got my first check in the NFL. I didn't know what to do, John. I got all this money.
Yeah.
Where am I going to spend it? Thankfully, my wife was around to
spend it for you.
Part of my money.
Yeah,
spend it for me. That's what the Hawks need to do, man. They need to spend it, though. There's no use of taking that to the grave, man. Spend it right now.
Yeah. So what do you think? Now, of course, the NFC right now is going through an interesting and scary transition. Scary but helpful to Seattle. Like, now we know that Sean Payton is not going to be in New Orleans. That makes them weaker. Jason Lock in Florida just tweeted out that Tom Brady's going to make his decision very soon, whether he's going to retire or not retire. And if he's not there in Tampa, then Gronk's not coming back, and you wonder about Bruce Arians, and then how average will Tampa Bay be without Tom Brady? So that one's there. You've got Carolina, and of course I bring up all these teams because the Seahawks play the NFC South. Carolina has Matt Rhule, and he's barely hanging on right now as the head coach. So you look at that, and then the Seahawks have the fourth place schedule. So instead of taking on the Green Bays or and of course Green Bay, they won't have Aaron Rodgers, so they're going to drop down. Minnesota and Chicago got coaching changes, and so with the fourth place schedule, they play Detroit, the Jets, and the we got one more team against the fourth place team, the Giants. And so it's like, those are all winnable games.
Yeah, winnable games. Giants has a new head coach over mm-hmm. there, former OC at the Bills. You saw what he did with Josh Allen. It should be open. And here's the great thing about the NFC. There's all this movement going on around. You got Tom Brady coming back, Aaron Rodgers, all these other teams you just mentioned. if you win this division or you're competitive in this division, you have a chance to go all the way. We're seeing that now, right? You beat the 49ers twice. They're still in the conference championship. Mm-hmm. The Rams and everything they have going. The NFC West is still the division, the best division in football. So, yeah, there's movement going around, but if they can take care of home and take care of the West, man, they'll have a chance.
How do you see that NFC title game going tomorrow between the Rams and the 49ers?
John, this one's tough, man. It's tough because you look at the Rams and you see all the star power.
Yeah.
You see Matthew Stafford taking care of the football in the playoffs. You see Odell Beckham getting his second win of his career. Cam Akers is back, so the run game should be good. But I look at that 49ers defense, and they get after that quarterback. And we know Matthew Stafford is great against pressure. I believe he was the best quarterback, one or two in the league, when it comes to throwing into the blitz. Does a great job at that. But we also know that he will turn the football over in the red zone, especially, and just do something crazy that a veteran just doesn't do.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be the most competitive game of the weekend. I like the matchup on the other side, but I think the Chiefs are going to handle that. I look at this matchup, and I say it all comes down to the fourth quarter. How close is this game in the fourth quarter? If the Niners are down by 10 points in the fourth quarter, I think it's going to be a wrap. The Niners have to keep it close because they don't have that big playability through the air to kind of catch up. The Rams do. So I think it's all contingent on how close is the game for the 49ers in the fourth.
Yeah, no doubt. But it should be a good football game. What did you think of last week? Because it was probably the greatest weekend of football I can ever, ever remember.
Man, it was amazing, John. It was my anniversary last week, so I'm around with the wife, but we're stopping to watch the game. We're at our hotel. We're doing an anniversary thing. But she understood. Even she was watching the game. She told me, she goes, how does Tom Brady make it look so easy? She's asking all these questions. And I'm like, babe, this is the best weekend of football I can remember. And this is what the NFL needed. It's not like the NFL is struggling when it comes to popularity.
No.
But in moments like this, you want your stars out there. You had Tom Brady. You had Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, all these big-name quarterbacks out there. And they put on a show. Then you have the rising stars. You got Josh Allen against the Chiefs at making it a game. And then you have Joe Burrow on the other side, you know, the coolest guy in the league. This is just, it reminds people that the NFL is a factory. Just when you think these old guys are leaving, who's going to carry the torch, man? The old guys bounce back in Tom Brady, and then you got these young guys who are making it interesting, man. I think the NFL is in a great place right now.
Well, I've never seen an AFC or a conference that's loaded with so many quarterbacks that are young,
man,
talented, and good than the AFC. Because I count out, there's 9 quarterbacks 26 years or younger, and I'm not including Davis Mills of the Houston Texans, but there's 9 quarterbacks that are, you know, former first-round picks, really talented guys. They're 26 or younger, and they're in one conference. And then to make things even crazier, you know, the odds of Aaron Rodgers getting out of Green Bay, I think, are good. And where is he going to end up? He's going to end up in Denver. So now you've got 10 quarterbacks that are loaded like that. I mean, that's more quarterbacks than playoff spots.
Yeah, those guys can go ahead and leave and stay in the AFC, John.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep the NFC the way it is. But that's great, man. That's great for football. And you know what, John, what I like about those quarterbacks, that they're a different type of quarterbacks. Remember back in the day where you had to be 6'6", pocket passer, strong arm. And then guys started transitioning. Okay, I want the most mobile quarterback out there. Now we're seeing a mix of everything. The NFL is showing, look, you can be successful in many different ways. You can be successful running the ball with your quarterback or just having a strong run game. You can be successful tossing the football around. But you need a quarterback. And you mentioned all those young guys for the next 8 to 10 years, we should be seeing some good football and some good development. They're so young. Imagine when these guys are 30, 31 years old in their football quarterback prime.
No doubt about it. How do you sort out the Kansas City-Cincinnati game?
It's going to be tough, John. I mean, Kansas City, the first team to host 4 consecutive conference championship games. Patrick Mahomes is 7-1 at home, 23 touchdowns, 1 interception when it comes to playoffs. Joe Burrow saying, look, the SEC has stadiums way louder than I've seen in the NFL. He ain't been to Arrowhead Stadium yet, and it's going to be rocking in there. But this guy's so experienced, man. He's been to Ohio State. He was at LSU, won a national championship. He's been in these moments. So I think he can put up a fight. It's all about Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon. Like, Ja'Marr Chase has to have 170 yards, a couple touchdowns. Mixon has to have 120 yards and a touchdown. The stars for Cincinnati's have to shine bright because we've seen that, one, they've already beaten the Kansas City Chiefs, so we know the Chiefs are going to be ready to go. But they're not scared of the Chiefs, and I think that's the main thing. A lot of people walk into Arrowhead and see number 15 over there and say, oh, my gosh, here we go. Joe Burrow and Cincinnati, they're like, look, we already beat these guys. So it's going to be a task. I expect it to be close, but honestly, I think, man, Pat Mahomes can't beat him. I think he does it again.
Which will be amazing. I mean, as he goes to three straight Super Bowls. Isn't that crazy? Four straight.
Yeah, three straight.
Yeah, three straight Super Bowls, and he's now been, this is his fourth AFC title game that he's been in. It's amazing.
Yeah, he's accomplished, man. The kid isn't, was he not even 26 yet?
Yeah, you know? 26.
Or maybe he is 26 years old. He's done everything. You know, he's won a Super Bowl, Super Bowl MVP, league MVP, and he's still hungry. And Bieniemy and those guys over there are still finding ways to allow him to be himself. And I think that's what's key with Pat Mahomes. A lot of times in football, you try to make a guy fit a mold and say, this is not how you do it. Your arm angle needs to be here. Your feet need to be here. I think the Chiefs have found a way to kind of let Pat Mahomes be himself, but also get back to the fundamentals, man. His base has been so much better in the playoffs. I think that's what was jacking him up during the regular season. So, yeah, man, it's fun to watch it, man. I really want to see that very first drive. How nervous are the Cincinnati Bengals, and can they go toe-to-toe with a giant in the NFL?
No doubt about it. What's interesting about Mahomes is that, in the Super Bowl last year, he went through the same problem that Russell Wilson did with the cover two defense. But the one thing that Mahomes was able to do this year is that, he's become more patient, is willing to take what's given to him as opposed to forcing things, and he's able to survive cover two defenses.
Yeah, it's all about those checkdowns. Man, you have talent over there. You have guys who can make something out of nothing. Even Travis Kelce's not the fastest tight end out there, but you check it down to him, he can get 10 to 12 yards a yak. Of course, you got the Cheetah and Tyreek Hill as well. And what people don't talk about with the Chiefs, too, John, as of late, they've been running the heck out of the football, too, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been taking some pressure. I believe they rushed for like 140 yards their last game. That's not what we associate the Chiefs with, is running the rock. So, yeah, combined with Pat Mahomes being mature and taking what that defense is giving him and combining the run, eventually those guys got to fill that box up, and he's going to be able to take two or three shots a game. You know, number 10, Tyreek Hill can get behind anybody.
Oh, yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, they're so good with their run after the catch. And, Bengals aren't great at the cornerback position. And then the other thing is, can they protect Joe Burrow? He was sacked 9 times this year, 51 times during the regular season.
Yeah, if Joe Burrow is sacked 9 times against the Chiefs, he's not going to do the unthinkable and pull out a win again. No. I just don't think you can survive like that. But how do you protect this guy? You got to run the rock, and he needs to get the football out of his hands early, too. He has, I believe, the number 2 receiver in the league when it comes to yards after catch in Ja'Marr Chase. So what do you do, John? You throw slants, you throw screens, you get it out early, get this defense going east and west, and allow Joe to get into a nice little groove.
No doubt about it. Hey, Michael Bumpus, I thank you as always. Hope you're having a good off season so far.
Hey, John, appreciate you, man. Have a good one.
Okay, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Our thanks to Matt Nelson for producing the show. Our thanks to Matt Nelson for running the show. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Commando Dave. David, how are you?
Hey, what's up, John Clayton, man? Listen, it's great to be back on the John Clayton Show. Heading into Conference Championship Sunday, the NFL's Final Four. Shout out to Matt DMC Nelson for getting me on the airwaves of 710 Cairo, home of the 8 years since the title game Seahawks, and the See Us Rise Mariners, so I can bring it to the show. And speaking of bringing it to the show, John Clayton, I'm sure I speak for a lot of John Clayton Show listeners when I say embrace Bob in Bellevue as Sean Salisbury light and just mix it up with him. You're the professor, the database guru. You're John Clayton, damn it. You're going to let a guy from Bellevue rattle you? And as far as predictions go, John Clayton, with 13 ticks left on the clock,
yeah,
the Buffalo Bills went to an Emerald Queen Casino doorman defense and said, right this way to the Chiefs receivers twice. Otherwise, I would have been 4-for-4 since I picked the Bengals, the 49ers, and the Rams. Next time you run into Leslie Frazier, hold him and call me. And I agree with what you said earlier, John Clayton. Last weekend was the best weekend of football we've ever seen, and that just shows the unpredictability of the NFL playoffs. A wild card weekend, more watered down than the drinks at the airport. ironically led to the best divisional playoff weekend in NFL history. Four games that I'm sure Steve Rabel would say he would agree with me that Coach Chuck Knox would have absolutely loved, because there was a bunch of football players making football plays. Four games that when you thought you knew what was going to happen, poof, something else happened next. And all the talk about changing the overtime rules is based on four things and four things alone, John Clayton, none of which have anything to do with the coin toss. The Bills kicking the ball into the end zone. The Bills playing the sidelines not knowing the Chiefs had three timeouts. The Bills not getting the slightest bit of pressure on Mahomes. And the Bills letting the Chiefs run right down the field in OT for a touchdown. The Bills did not deserve to touch the ball in overtime. Moving to the title games, John Clayton, last week, the Bingo Show, you talked about this with Michael Bumpus there, that not only could they take a punch, but they could keep taking them. And I think Joe Burrow can go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes, so I'm rolling with the Bengals and Bootsy Collins, of course. And the Rams are in position still to play a Super Bowl in their own brand-sparkling new stadium. And despite not beating the 49ers in three seasons, I just don't see them letting that opportunity get away. So put me down for the Rams, Professor.
Fantastic. Yeah, I'm staying away from the predictions because, again, I would have been – but, again, if you predicted that many successes last week, I'll lean toward your –
on the show.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like I'll lean toward what you do. Hey, Commando, thank you as always. And I thank everybody.
Thank you,
everybody who called the show today. And, of course, I'll be back next week from 8 to 11. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.